From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Cotet. This is Idaho Matters. The United States has seen 5 cases of malaria spread by mosquitoes in the past 2 months. This is the first time there has been local spread here in the U.S. in 20 years. This has actually prompted authorities to issue a public health alert, warning to doctors and to public health authorities about this risk. Now, in fact, the state of Florida is actually under a public health warning due to this outbreak. So joining us today is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, to talk more about this. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
And remember, if you have a public health question, you can email us, idahomatters@boisestatepublicradio.org. All right, Dr. Pate, let's just start with the basics here. What is malaria? How and why is it spreading? And how concerned do we need to be here in Idaho?
Well, there's no cause for concern here in Idaho at this point, being so much further north. However, we do need to take this seriously. People are mostly aware of malaria in terms of their international travels and whether they're going somewhere where they need to take anti-malarial pills before going there. But most people listening to this show are not old enough to remember that malaria used to be endemic in the United States. And people may be surprised why the CDC is in Atlanta, Georgia, rather than in Washington. But the reason it was set up there was to combat malaria, and which at that point was predominantly in the southern United States. And so that was where the hotbed of malaria was. And the CDC, in fact, their first major success was eliminating malaria from the United States in 1951. It was eliminated. But what we've seen since then, and especially in the last couple of decades, is that we have seen some of these diseases that usually don't occur in the United States, but occur more southern countries like the Central Americas or South America, chikungunya, Zika. People may remember when there was a Zika outbreak in Florida and women that were pregnant then had babies that had very misshapen heads from the Zika virus. So we've seen more of these. Some people think that may be because of the climate changes and the warming. Some of these diseases have moved up into the southern United States. But malaria is a parasite, and there are several different forms. Thank goodness the form that we're seeing in those 4 cases in Florida and 1 in Texas is the VVAX form, which is not the most serious, but it's not fun to have. And malaria is a parasite. It's carried by mosquitoes, and then you get bitten by the mosquito. The mosquito injects the parasite into your body, and it ends up, these parasites get inside of your red blood cells. And so when we see cases of malaria, we can actually just take a little smear of your blood, look at it in the microscope, and we can see the malarial parasites. What's important for people is that if you do get symptoms, and usually the initial symptoms are fever, feeling very tired. The fever pattern can be erratic. And so, bits of fever and not having fever and then fever again. Any of those things that are unexplained, you should get checked by a doctor because it is important that we start treatment right away. The downside of this form of the malaria is that if it's not treated early, it can set up a house in your liver. And then you can have recurrences come back later. So for everybody else, what the major things are is don't have standing water on your property because we don't want to do things that give those mosquitoes, and it's a specific type of mosquito that carries this parasite. So, standing water, the big thing is a lot of times when people dispose of old tires in properly. They get rainwater in them, and then it's a wonderful habitat for mosquitoes to breed. So that's the big takeaway for now.
So, Dr. Pate, just to be clear, that malaria doesn't, I'm assuming, doesn't spread person to person. I mean, you have to be bitten by a certain type of mosquito.
Yes, with the exception of transfer to the baby by a pregnant mom. Other than that, okay, which is not common, but it can happen. Other than that, no. If somebody in your family has malaria, you're not going to catch it from them. The only way you would both get malaria is if you were both probably at the activity or outdoors where the mosquitoes were and you both got bitten by it by chance.
And so let's say you're going to be traveling to Florida. A lot of people do in the summertime, right? They take their kids down there to go to Disney World and places like that. Should people be taking any extra precautions?
At this point, no, we don't have a whole lot of this activity. However, it's, you know, there are many diseases that can be carried by mosquitoes. Certainly, if you're going to be outdoors and particularly at you know, the mosquito feeding times, you may want to use some insect repellent. If you're seeing the mosquitoes out there and starting to get bothered them, you know, either move indoors or have put some repellent on. Same thing if you're, you know, camping and going to be exposed to mosquitoes. You just want to take care to have some repellent.
Okay. Let's talk about a travel alert that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention just issued in the last couple of days. And this is in regards to polio, Dr. Pate.
This is so frustrating. We have, there's only one virus we ever eliminated from the world, eradicated, and that was smallpox. We came darn close with polio. It's like we got the kickoff of the football. We caught it on the 20-yard line, and we ran, and we got all the way to the one-yard line, and then we just, mm-hmm, in three more plays, we couldn't get it across the goal line. That's how close we were on polio. And the reason is that Afghanistan and Pakistan did not, and for some reasons were not able to get everybody adequately vaccinated for polio. So we continued to have circulating polio in those two countries. More recently, some of that original polio virus has shown up in a couple of African countries. And so this is very frustrating, where we had the opportunity, and frankly, I still think have the opportunity to get rid of this polio virus, but we don't have the worldwide commitment to do this. So what is happening now is that when travelers are exposed and get the polio virus, like going to one of these countries and come, mm-hmm, back, as happened, you know, not that long ago in New York, we had someone that came from another country. And then we had a young man in New York who was not vaccinated for polio. He got exposed. And tragically, now he is paralyzed from the polio. And it's just a terribly sad situation. So, but what happens now, because there are so many people that have not been getting polio vaccinations and staying up with those, now what happens is when we have outbreaks, especially in some of these other countries where they don't have the manpower infrastructure and they're poorer or developing countries, the vaccine that we use in the United States is called IPV. It's an injection for polio, and it's a virus that cannot cause disease in you or allow you to transmit it. But the OPV, and for us old folks on the call, we'll remember getting our sugar cubes way back We don't use those in the United States anymore because that has a weakened but still live virus. So what happens is you take that sugar cube and it does protect you, but it can revert to the form of the virus that can cause paralysis in your GI tract. And while it won't cause it in you, you pass it in your stool for weeks. And now anybody who's around you who's not vaccinated can get it. And that's the vaccine that's being used in many of these other countries because they simply, it's too difficult to have people to administer shots and transport it. So they use this oral form, but then it kind of can cause these little outbreaks. Now we have a total of 30 countries where the virus is circulating in those few I mentioned. It's the wild type virus, the real virus, but in the others, it's from the oral vaccine trying to put out these fires.
All right. Before I let you go, Dr. Payton, let's talk about some good news. The FDA just approved some RSV vaccines.
Yes, very, very good news on that front. Last month, the FDA authorized two RSV vaccines for people that are 60 or over. Your listeners may remember RSV is another one of those respiratory viruses. It can cause a croup-like illness, but it's worse in young infants and in the elderly. And every year, tens of thousands of elderly people are hospitalized, and unfortunately, a fair number die from this virus. Now we have vaccines for that. The FDA also reviewed a vaccine that while it can't be given to very young newborns or infants, it can be given to the mother. And that mother, during the pregnancy, can transfer those antibodies to the baby. And so there's a recommendation for approval of that vaccine. So surely we'll be talking about it when we get closer to fall, but this may be a great option for elderly folks, especially if you're going to be exposed to young children and have young grandchildren, that kind of thing.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, thank you for getting us up to date on all of this public health information. Good information to have.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.